Hello, welcome to the Thursday, March 19th, 2015 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Let's start with a little update on the Live.fi certificate. Remember, yesterday Microsoft published a security advisory and a patch to revoke this particular certificate. Turns out it was registered by a security researcher who actually notified Microsoft several times, according to him, about the problem that you can register a hostmaster at Live.fi address. So in order to demonstrate the problem after he was ignored, he did actually go ahead and then retrieve a certificate after he registered the email address hostmaster at live.fi. So it looks like Microsoft and Live.fi users have dodged a bullet here. Apparently, this certificate was never used to impersonate the actual Live.fi site. And talk about SL. Remember, we are expecting an OpenSL patch later today. OpenSL did narrow down the time frame to 11 a.m. through 3 p.m. GMT, so that would be early morning Eastern time. And then we got an interesting vulnerability in iOS. It's not a huge deal, but nevertheless, something to be aware of, and that's the ability to load invisible apps onto the phone or the tablet. Usually, when you load an iOS app, there is an icon that's being added to the springboard. That's sort of your desktop, your GUI for your phone. But with this trick, it's possible to then install an application that does not display an icon and thus remains invisible. The problem here is that if you temporarily lose control of your device, it's possible that someone will install an application on your device and you will never notice it actually exists. Well, and usually I don't talk much about breaches anymore. There are just too many of them, and usually we don't have a lot of detail as to what really happened. It's always a highly sophisticated nation-state attack that's behind it. The last one here that's of note is yesterday's breach of Primera Blue Cross, in which about 11 million records were leaked. The one thing that's different here is not that we know a lot about what actually happened, but we do have an audit report by the U.S. Office of Personnel Management. Apparently, this company did work with the U.S. government. As such, they were subject to these audits, and the audit report is public. The summary of the report is that Primera had all the policies in place, but was really lacking actually implementing them and putting controls in place to make sure policies were actually followed. So, for example, the audit report does note that Primera did have a great patch policy, but then when the auditor actually went ahead and scanned the servers, they found that many of them were unpatched. Similar with configuration controls, they had standard configuration policies, but a lot of the servers were not configured according to that standard and were vulnerable as a result. I think this is a real good lesson here that you shouldn't really rely on policy alone. And one of the important parts of audits is not just to do the check marks, check if you have the policies, but to actually do the scans, do the pen tests and the like, do at least a vulnerability scan to make sure that the policies that are written are actually followed and that systems are in place to continuously monitor whether or not the policies are being followed. And got a D-Link network camera. You may want to look for an update. The DCS93 series suffered from an arbitrary file upload via the firmware update function. Now, to be fair, the user has to have valid credentials to log in order to exploit this vulnerability, but you probably still want to take care of it. Also, the DAP1320 wireless range extenders appear to be affected by this problem. The issue here is not that someone could update your firmware without you knowing or downgrade it. Instead, they could load arbitrary code instead of a firmware image and then execute that code. And according to security company MDSEC, it's possible to brute force an iOS device's pin via USB. Now, this itself wouldn't really be that terribly bad, but apparently it's then also possible to avoid the lockout counter. In iOS, you do have the ability to erase your device if the pin is entered several times wrongly. So what this new device does via USB is that it enters the pin. If the pin is not being accepted, then it will immediately reboot the device before the counter that counts how many times the pin was entered incorrectly has been incremented. With this, apparently, it is possible within 111 hours, so that's roughly 4 or 5 days to brute force all four-digit pins. Lesson number one, don't use a four-digit pin. iOS does allow for an alphanumeric pin. Lesson number two, don't lose your device. Apparently, this brute force device goes by the name of IP Box and costs about $200. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.